10:41 through 45. When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together, settled things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said. "And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to
God." Jonathan, thank you, thank you. If you look at your sermon notes, I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. Jesus is more than a superhero. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Jesus is more than a superhero. Amen. Now, I don't want you to be off guard. I don't want you to feel embarrassed. I'm going to ask you a question. Who is your favorite superhero? So just start thinking. So you've already received the warning ahead of time. We wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anyone, even in the balcony. So don't you folks who are sitting high and lifted up feel like we have missed you out. One of the great passages in Scripture is this passage here from the Gospel of Mark. In fact, it shares with us as it relates to humility and how we are to humble ourselves and not get the big head. You don't know anybody who has the big head, do you? Don't answer that one. Don't answer that one. It can easily happen. But it's good when God places people in your lives that'll keep you humble and keep you grounded. Amen? Never will forget, I was in the fellowship hall, as several of you, last week, and thank you again on behalf of Teresa, Linda, yours truly, for your expressions of love. Where's Jan Sanchez? All right, right there, later right there. I'm going to tell you what she had a conversation with me. And she said, "Kevin, you must feel good. People are saying all of these accolades and praises and honoring you and appreciating you, except, of course, the principal of Matanzas High School. But anyway," she said, "boy, I just told Linda, how are you going to get him in the house with that big head?" Isn't that true? And what did she say? She said, "I'll take care of it before he even get in the house." Yeah. So you have people who will keep you grounded. Well, Jesus was taking care of the disciples. They got out of hand. They thought it was all about themselves and what they wanted, what their desires were. And two came to him privately as well. Well, I want to say and thank you for what you did on yesterday evening as it relates to our community. And to have over 1,400 people on our campus, that is just outstanding. And you even ran out of candy, so much so that I didn't get one. Not one. Can you believe that? And so I wanted to ask you, as it relates to the first question in your sermon notes, is this question here, as it relates to who's your favorite superhero? Now, we have heroes among us, and I want them to stand. We have five firemen here. We have sheriff department and other service men and women. You are really the heroes. I want you to stand. Where's Calvin? Stand. All right. Stand. Wherever you are. All right. Give them a big hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. But here we go. Who's your favorite superhero?
Jesus, my favorite superhero, but if I'm going to say one that's on earth, I'd say Superman.
All right, all right, all right. Lana?
I like that guy who was walking on top of the water.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me, but anyway. All right, who's your favorite superhero, Calvin?
In the spiritual, Jesus Christ. In the natural, my father.
All right, very good. All the way back here from Africa. Welcome back, Diane.
Thank you. How about Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Wonder Woman. All right. Want to stay inclusive. Steve, Kathy, who do we have in the balcony? What about Ray? Is Ray up there?
Ray is here.
All right, brother.
My favorite superhero is Jesus Christ, my personal savior, and in the comic books, it's Captain America.
Captain America. All right, who's yours? I'm going real quick.
Batman.
Superman.
Superman. What about you, sir?
Batman.
All right.
Spider-Man.
All right.
Superman. Shazam.
Captain America.
All right.
Aquaman.
Aquaman. And we need someone from the choir, so we need someone who's very shy and who's bashful. Rita, who's your favorite one? All right.
Robin.
Robin, all right. I knew it would be a male. Hey, what about these heroes here? Have you ever seen these guys here? Look at that, Ray Charles and Bob. Yeah. Where's Ray Charles and Bob? Where are they? Yeah, right there. They were doing their thing last week for Motown. All right. Okay. Well, we all have them. Especially as it relates to those who are in the comic books and have shared as it relates to who's our favorite superhero. But on yesterday evening, we had some superheroes here as well in costumes. Take a look at this picture. Yeah, right there. Right there. Just worry, you know I was going to get you. Just no. Raise your hands and then let's grace that whole family. Give them a big hand. Amen, amen. Now, my personal favorite, one of my personal favorites is Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was a superhero. And if you look back the background of Spider-Man, Stan Lee, when he created Spider-Man in the early 60s, he created Spider-Man based upon a high school student by the name of what? Peter Parker. Peter Parker felt rejected. He felt lonely. He felt as though his life had no significance. And Stanley Lee created this character who was able to just use his own sense of moving and gravitation as it relates to Spider-Man doing his own thing. Hey, I brought along, and you parents are going to have to figure this out, but each kid can receive a Spider-Man piece of candy. Amen, amen. And I have my Spider-Man cup, but I'm going to give it to my buddy over there who raised his hand. Amen. But Spider-Man reminds us of what his Uncle Ben said as it relates actually from the biblical passage in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, look at Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 48th verse. In Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 48th verse, the Bible gives these words as it relates to whom much is given, much is required of thee. Uncle Ben paraphrased these words to Peter Parker, and he shared it and said it this way. Great power requires great responsibility. The greater the power, the greater the responsibility. He was keeping him on level ground. Well, you look closely in this passage of scripture, James and John, who was the sons of Zebedee, they came along, they were disciples of Jesus, but yet they were brothers. You have any siblings in here this morning? Just raise your hand. Oh, yeah, we know about that whole family right here. All right. Yeah. They came along and they had a private conversation with Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, if you look at the top part of Mark, the 10th chapter, you'll see they came along and had this one-on-one conversation with Jesus. It wasn't about, you know, making disciples and saving people's lives. It was all about themselves. They asked Jesus, Lord, when you get into your kingdom, grant that one of us can sit on your right side and the other on the left side. And Jesus responded to them. Do you know what you're asking? Jesus says, can you drink from the cup in which I drink from? And then he responded, surely you will. But to ask to be seated on my right or my left is not mine to give, but the Father in heaven. And look what happened. The other disciples, the other 10, they didn't have an email. They didn't receive it by way of text. They didn't even have a phone line, but they heard about the conversation. And you can imagine they were what? Outrageous. They were upset. They were frustrated. Look at the way that Eugene Peterson shares in the Message Bible. They were really ticked off. Don't raise your hands. Have you ever been ticked off? Yeah. They were upset. I dare them to go to Jesus and ask, can they sit on his right side or his left side? What about us? Where's our seat? We would say it in the church this way. Where's my pew? How many of you thought you owned that pew? Don't say that. Don't respond. All right. Yeah. Disciples were upset. They were bickering among themselves. They got the big head. And Jesus Christ calmed the guys down. He reminded them. That's how worldly people think. That's how worldly rulers think. They think that they're all that and a bag of chips. But that's not how it should be among you. He called the disciples to the carpet and he reminded them, if you want to be great, wonderful. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want power and prestige, wonderful. If you want responsibility, that's grand. But then Jesus comes along and he gives us the true nature of greatness. You want to write this definition down? Here it is. He gives us the true nature of greatness. It's going to be on the screen right here. Look at here. To be great does not mean to be what? Lord. Come on, let's read it together. To be great does not mean to lord it over someone. It means willingly serve under someone by giving his own life as a ransom. Jesus became the suffering servant. If the disciples wanted to be important, that's okay. But they must be the servants of all. Other translations, the King James translation said they must be slaves to all. In other words, we as God's followers, we're to keep it a level ground and remember it's not about us, it's about the kingdom. And the mission and ministry of the church is make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's what we are called to do. A lot of folks looking for the perfect church. Please remind them you won't find it. And if they find it, please beg them not to join. They'll mess it all up. One of the great stories as it relates to Spider-Man is a little boy. A little boy one day, he was seated on his steps at his home, and he was reading Spider-Man. Spider-Man. And as he was reading Spider-Man, lo and behold, each time he turned the page, he said, it's getting good now. Look to your neighbor and say, it's getting good now. Yeah, the preacher's about ready to close. You ought to be happy. Amen. Yeah. And he read a little bit more, and then he started turning the page. He said, it's getting good now. But then his dad walked up on him, and he overheard him as he was reading. His dad was impressed that his son indeed was reading every word on every page. He wasn't skimming. But what really puzzled his father's mind and heart was every time he turned the page, he said, it's getting good now. And so he stopped his son and he said, son, I'm impressed that you're reading. But each time that you're reading, you turn the page and you say, it's getting good now. And his son responded, he said, dad, it is though they're catching Spider-Man and they have Spider-Man right at their fingertips. And he escapes. And then I read a little further and see where Spider-Man is trying to help people, trying to do good. And each and every time the enemy is on his tracks, but yet he escaped. And it just excited me how each moment looked like Spider-Man is not going to come out alive. And so his father said, yeah, but how do you know it's getting good now? His little boy turned to the back of the book. He said, Daddy, I've already read the ending. I know who's going to win. Well, I don't know about you, but if you read these 66 love notes and read about Jesus Christ coming into the world, and you start Genesis with the creation story in the beginning, and you read the creation story and hear how God stepped out on nothing and created the universe. How God created and shaped out of dust, out of dirt, out of the ground, humankind, and breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. That reminds me, it's getting good now. And if you continue to read how God worked through all the chaos that was going on in the Bible, how God spoke to Moses through what we know as the Pentateuch, and how God moved as it relates to dealing with Joshua and Judges and Ruth and Naomi, and you see how good God is, you can say it's getting good now. If you read the Bible closely and see how God called the prophets, he called the prophets to go forth. He called the minor prophets and the major prophets to prophesy about a Savior soon to come. You would have to conclude when you get to the book of Malachi, it's getting good now. And then if you read the opening line as it relates to the Messiah who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, you'll have to conclude it's getting good now. And how he called 12 men to be his disciples. And then they went around preaching and teaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And how Jesus moved and walked among us. It's getting good now. And then you hear about the Roman Empire getting upset and arresting Jesus. And arresting him on his praying grounds as he was praying. But don't worry, why? It's getting good now. And you'll see how they took Jesus and placed him on a cross and stretched him high and stretched him wide. But it's getting good now. How the earth reeled and rocked like a drunken man. How the moon dripped away in blood. It looked like Jesus was gone, but it's getting good now. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, but thanks be to God, he got up on the third day morning with all power in his hands. It's getting real good now. And Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. But then he goes forth and he shares hope and love and grace and mercy and forgiveness with the whole world. And we're able to sing with the hymnologist, hymn number 364, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, life is worth the living. Because he lives, Jesus is more than a superhero. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. He's more than a superhero. Let us stand as we sing, because he lives. Amen.